The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make 76 gasoline and Triton motor oil, Union Oil Company, present The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. If some of you have wondered where Mike Shane has been during regular office hours the past few days, you'll find the answer on the front page of this evening's San Francisco papers. That's right, the murder trial of Jack Holmes. At this moment, which is along about 6:30, Phyllis Knight has one of those newspapers spread out on the desk before her. As she glares at the headlines, Mike is talking on the phone to Inspector Faraday.
Yeah, Faraday, yeah, I just got back from court.
Didn't take the jury long to decide. Less than 2 hours, Mike.
That boy is no more guilty than I am. Sure, somebody killed the watchman, but not Jack Holmes.
Now, don't take it so hard, Mike, just because his sweetheart hired you to investigate.
All right. Maybe I'm sentimental about those two kids, but I say Jack Holmes isn't the killer type. And with a nice girl like Janet Miley... Oh, Faraday, I let him down, and Janet was so certain I could help him.
Take it easy, Mike. You did your best, but the evidence was against you.
Yeah, sure it was. Is that unusual? Why, I've cleared dozens of guys when it looked like...
Janet,
like...
what's wrong?
Hello, Mike.
I'll talk to you later, Faraday. The girl's just walked in.
Janet, are you sick? You're white as a sheet.
Here, get her some water, honey, quick.
Yeah. Mr. Shane.
Yes?
Jackie.
Yeah?
Jackie.
Oh, here, sit down, honey. Let me help you.
Oh, the poor kid. She's all unstrung about the verdict.
No, it's more than that. Her hands are like ice.
He didn't do it. I just discovered
what?
The grocery.
What? Janet, what are you trying to say, honey?
My room. Somebody went through.
Huh?
Oh, just...
Here, Janet, drink this water. Janet?
12:15. I just discovered. I went... told him, thought he would...
Mike, she's fainted. I'm going to call a doctor.
Phyllis.
Yeah?
Call Inspector Faraday. She's dead.
Okay, Mike, I fixed it. We can go to Jack's cell now.
All right. Now, remember, honey, not a word about Janet's death. Jack will go all to pieces and we'll learn nothing.
I know, but it seems so hard-hearted.
This way, kids.
Ah, boy.
Sad business, eh? Guess the girl figured after that jury's verdict she didn't have anything left to live for.
Suicide? Uh-uh. No. If Janet found something she thought would clear Jack, she certainly wouldn't take poison.
Unless she took the poison before she got the information that would clear Jack.
Hmm? No, then she would have called a doctor. If we can believe her dying words, she went first to some man, told him her discovery, then came to us. She didn't even know she was poisoned.
All right, but who did it? We only knew what she was trying to tell us.
Better pipe down. That's Jack's cell with a jailer standing outside.
Oh, yes, sir. Now let me do most of the talking.
All right, Morrissey, open it up.
Yes, Inspector.
Hello, Jack.
Hello.
How do you feel, Jack?
Oh, top of the world. It's so cheering to be condemned to death for a crime you didn't commit.
You had a fair trial, my boy. The jury could decide only on the evidence presented.
I told them I left the warehouse that night way before it happened. At 12:15, I was at home. But no, they take the word of that cab driver.
He did pick you up at the warehouse door, and he said the clock in the drugstore read 12:15. I checked the clock myself the next day. It was an electric, right on time.
So did I, Jack. Unless the cab driver was lying, and he seemed like an honest guy.
I see. Even my loyal detective, Mr. Shane, says I'm guilty.
Oh, no, Jack, you don't understand.
Go ahead, say I killed the watchman. Say I stole the diamonds. You never were working for Janet and me.
Yes, we were, Jack, and we still are. That's why we're here. It's about Janet. She's not so good.
What? What are you trying to say?
She came to the office a little while ago and tried to tell us something, some new evidence she had found, but, well, she got sick.
What's wrong? Is she all right? Where is she?
Now, easy, son, easy. She's still at the office. She said a lot of mixed-up things, Jack. Her room had been ransacked, something about a grocery, that you weren't guilty, and she had discovered proof and told him so.
Him? Who's him?
Oh, that's what we don't know. Did, Does Janet have any close men friends she might go to?
Not that I know of. We've been engaged for almost a year now. She never mentioned any. Our boss, Mr. Phillips, is a good friend of both of us.
Yes, yeah, he's paying the fee on the case. She might have gone to him, or maybe to his partner.
Mr. Russell? Oh, no, not that old crap.
Well, why come to me? Janet's the one to tell you.
Well, as we said, Jack, she's all busted up over this thing, and she isn't well.
Well, she can talk, can't she? Can she?
Jack.
I can see it in your faces. Something's happened to her. What is it? Tell me. She's dead, isn't she?
We're awfully sorry, son.
I see you went out to my home, Mr. Shane.
That's right, Mr. Phillips, and your wife told us you were working at the office this evening.
Yes, Russell and I spent so many days in court on the trial. We had to work evenings to keep up with the business.
Now, I wouldn't imagine there'd be such a turnover in the wholesale jewelry line.
You'd be surprised. Our firm cuts and mounts gems for at least half the better jewelry stores in the city.
Then the robbery and loss of the diamonds didn't hurt your trade.
It would have, Inspector, except for the capture and trial of Jack Holmes. Of course, we're covered by insurance. If you'll step into the office.
Oh, Mr. Phillips.
Yes, Bauer?
May I see you a moment, sir?
Yes, excuse me, please. Go right into the office.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
Well, good evening, Mr. Russell. Miss Russell.
Good evening.
I believe you and your sister know Inspector Faraday.
Of course. Yes. How are you, Inspector?
Fair enough, thanks. So the lady executives work nights around this company, too.
If she's the treasurer, she does.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. And now, Mr. Shane, I suppose you'd like your fee, now that nothing more can be done for poor Jack.
Well, I'd hardly bring Inspector Faraday along just to collect the check, Mr. Phillips.
Well, I assume...
The case is cracked wide open again. Janet Miley has just died.
What? Janet?
She was poisoned.
She staggered into our office about an hour ago, gasped out a few words, and she died.
I was afraid of this. Remember, Anne, I said to you, if the jury brought in a guilty verdict...
It wasn't a suicide, Mr. Russell. I said she was poisoned.
Poisoned?
Her dying words were that she'd found new evidence, and that she had gone to him, some man, and told him.
Well, of course, she came to me, but she didn't say anything about evidence.
What time was this, Mr. Phillips?
About 6 o'clock. She was crying and hysterical. Begged me to help Jack to get a retrial or an appeal. I tried to comfort her.
Excuse me, Mr. Phillips, but I thought you'd like these invoices.
I'm very busy, Mr. Bauer.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll leave them here on the desk.
If Janet found any new evidence, it'd hardly be likely to clear Jack Holmes. I'm pretty well convinced that young man is a born criminal.
Mr. Russell, that's unfair.
Is it? Look at the court testimony. Phillips and I found shortages in Jack's account books. We called him back to the office that night to explain. He couldn't. Said he wanted to spend the night checking back through his records. Phillips and I left. Next thing we know, 1,300 carats worth of diamonds are missing... Night watchman's found dead.
You never found the diamonds?
Of course not. He hid them.
I'm afraid it's true. The watchman's clock was smashed. It stopped at 12:10. The cab driver picked up Jack at 12:15.
Mr. Bauer, would you mind leaving the room?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry.
He's new here. Bauer is the nosiest secretary I've ever hired.
Bauer! Now I remember.
Remember what?
Well, I was in the outer office this evening. When Janet came out of this room, Bauer stopped her. I heard him say something about going out to a bar and having a little chat.
I'm going to call him back.
A bar, eh?
Do you suppose the poison was slipped into a drink?
Mr. Bauer. Oh, Mr. Bauer, hold up. Stop.
Hey, Inspector, what's wrong?
He's running for the front door.
We'll return to Michael Shane and his adventures in just a moment. Week in and week out, a lot of motorists go along wondering why their engines lack power without realizing that much of their trouble may be due to dirty or worn-out spark plugs. Yes, that's right. Defective or worn spark plugs are to blame for a great deal of poor engine performance. For example, engineering tests show that faulty spark plugs can waste one tankful of gasoline out of every 10, which not only cuts down your mileage, but causes your engine to lose power. So, friends, if it's been 3,000 miles or more since your spark plugs were checked, Or if your engine has been losing power, it's a pretty safe bet that the Union Oil Minuteman Spark Plug Service can do you some good. Union Oil spark plug inspection is scientifically performed. The condition of each plug is carefully measured on a special machine, and you can see the results for yourself. If your plugs are dirty, the Minuteman will clean and adjust them. Or if new plugs are indicated, he can quickly install them. The cost of this service is only a few cents per plug, and you'll soon save that in extra mileage. You'll find Union Oil Minutemen ready to serve you wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76. While Inspector Faraday hurries off in pursuit of the fleeing Secretary Bauer, Mike and Phyllis have set off on an errand of their own. And now in the hallway of a certain apartment house.
Yes, oh, here we are. 327. Not much going on here.
Mike, that Secretary Bauer, he's tied into this somehow. Snooping around to hear what we said and then running from the inspector.
Well, I'll leave that problem to Faraday, you know. Wow. Place looks all in order. Hey, wait a minute, honey. Her bed. It's not made up. It's cut to pieces.
Yeah, the stuffing pulled out of the mattress. What on earth were they looking for?
This door here. Let me see. Oh, the bathroom.
Mike, look at the medicine cabinet. And the floor.
Uh-huh. Bottles and jars scattered all over the place.
Oh, every one of them with his top or this cold cream jar. Here, the cream's been scooped out and dropped all over the basin.
Huh? Oh, that's an old trick, honey. Hiding gems in a woman's makeup.
Mike, you don't think Jack... that she had the diamond.
Well, somebody thought so. Maybe she did. No. That's too dizzy. Well, come on, let's check the other room again. Here. There's something worth looking into. A desk.
Yeah. Somebody else found it, too. Drawers yanked out. Everything's a mess.
I doubt if there's anything left for us, but I'll double check. Still searching. No, just the usual stuff. Say, how about that wastebasket, honey?
How about it? Here.
Huh?
Put in my thumb and pulled out a plum. What a big girl am I.
Yeah. A check, torn in half. Mm-hmm. Paid to the order of Janet Miley. $2,000. And signed by... Well, I'll be a...
Anne Elizabeth Russell. I think this note went with it, Mike. It's the same handwriting.
Janet, take this and do as I say. And that's all. Take this and do as I say.
Which apparently Janet did not. $2,000 is a rather expensive no thanks.
Well, stuff this in your purse, Angel. We're about to go places and ask questions.
You know, if you ask me, Miss Russell...
Quiet. What? Somebody's at the door. Quick, snap off the lights.
Yeah.
We're flattened against the wall. I'll jump him when he comes in.
No, the light.
All right, buddy. Come on, up with your hands.
What?
Let go of me, you dope. What? Faraday. You?
Yeah, me.
Oh, I thought you were chasing Bauer.
Got away. I phoned Phillips for Bauer's home address. Turned out to be a gas station.
Oh, a phony, eh? Well, we've got a lead that may be better. Come on, let's go.
Give the doorbell another push, Mike.
You know, I wish these people would stay put. First we go to their homes, but they're working at the office. Now they're not at the office, they're home.
Somebody's coming now.
Yes? Oh, it's you again.
Don't strain your enthusiasm, Mr. Russell. May we come in?
Yes.
Mr. Russell, we would like to talk to your sister.
Anne? Oh, well, she's upstairs.
Will you ask her to come down, please?
Yes, if you'll go into the living room. Anne? Oh, Anne, will you come downstairs? May I ask what you people want?
Oh, you'll hear it. Oh, by the way, sir, I believe your sister is treasurer of your company?
She is.
For how long?
6 or 7 years.
How long was Janet Miley with your firm?
Several years. She worked in the same department with Jack Holmes. Look here, I insist on knowing what this is about.
Alfred?
In here, Anne.
Oh, so you're all back.
Yes, these people say they want to talk to you, Anne.
Phyllis, give me that check and note.
Ready and waiting.
Miss Russell, would you look at this note and check, please?
So Janet gave them to you. What did she tell you?
Right now, I'm more interested in what you told her. What was Janet to do for your $2,000?
And what's the meaning of this?
I was merely trying to save you from yourself, brother dear.
Save me?
I've watched you for a long time, Alfred.
What is...
I saw the way you were mooning around Janet.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, don't you? I know you proposed marriage to the girl. And now with Jack out of the way, you thought she'd say yes. But I'm not going to have another woman in this organization. I have trouble enough as it is.
That doesn't explain the $2,000, Miss Russell.
Of course it does. I offered her the money to get out of town and not come back.
And what right had you? You're not running my life.
Well, this puts a new slant on everything. Could be that Russell wanted Jack out of the way so he could have a clear track with Janet.
Mm-hmm. The diamond robbery might have been conveniently arranged.
That's a lie.
If Miss Russell didn't want her brother to marry Janet and the girl wouldn't buy off, then perhaps Big Sister thought of another way out.
You mean the poison root, Phil?
How dare you! You
mustn't. I know some naughty names, too.
Oh, surely, Mr. Shane, you've got some brains. You don't believe such insane twaddle.
Are you referring to my colleagues, Miss Russell, or to your story?
No.
It could be possible you and your brother Alfred have been putting on a little act for us.
I'll answer that remark, Mr. Shane, but right now you're wanted on the phone.
What? Oh, thanks. Hello?
Mr. Shane, Mrs. Power.
Yeah?
I've got to see you at once.
What? Where are you?
Listen, I have the real dope on the murder. Meet me at the old Dutch windmill in Golden Gate Park.
What time?
Let's see, it's just about 10 o'clock. Make it 10:30. And come alone. Don't tell anybody.
Okay, Bauer.
So it's Bauer. Where is he, Mike?
Shh, quiet, Inspector. Well, Mr. Russell, I think we'll be running along. If we have any more questions, we'll be back.
I'm sure you will.
No, no, please. Don't bother to see us to the door.
Mike, where are we going?
Golden Gate Park. Bauer wants to talk to us secretly.
A great secret with somebody listening on the line.
What? Who's listening?
Miss Ann Russell on the extension phone right in the hall here. What time is it, Mike?
10:28. Now keep back in the shadows with Faraday.
This guy Bauer certainly picked a dramatic spot to meet the old Dutch windmill in the loneliest corner of the park.
Not to mention spooky. Look at those four huge vanes above us, like the arms of a giant hovering over our heads.
Oh, Angel, your poetry picks the doggondest times to bust loose.
But I can't help it. I'm nervous. What time is it now?
10:29.
I don't know. This may be a trap. Bauer may be after you, Mike. I don't like anything about that bird.
I don't like anything about tonight, period.
Shh. I see a light through the bushes. Car's coming around the turn.
Got your gun, Mike?
I'm all set. Now keep back in the shadows.
It sounds like he's driving fast.
What was that? Sounded like a gun.
Why, Grandma Faraday, your nerves. Here he comes.
Mike, he's passing you. Mike?
Hey, Bauer! Bauer!
He's skidding.
Is he hurt? Is he hurt badly?
Can't tell yet. Open his shirt, Mike.
What's a waste of time, Inspector? Look at the back of his head.
Oh, guess I was right. We did hear a shot.
But who would do it? Who knew he was coming here to talk? Oh, that phone call.
Yeah, Ann Russell. Well, I guess there's no mystery about this killing.
Hey, Faraday, here's his wallet. Maybe it will answer a few things for us.
Let's see.
Well, what is it? What is it? I'm old enough to be told.
Mr. Bauer wasn't any ordinary secretary. He was an insurance detective.
Planted in that office to find the missing diamonds.
Well, then maybe he ransacked Janet's apartment.
Yes, he did. It says so here in his pocket notebook. Search girl's room, no evidence, no jewels. Janet went in to see Phillips. Something's up. Took her to bar. Told me to check on mistake. 12:15.
12:15. Mike. Remember?
Huh?
Janet tried to tell us something about that.
12:15. That was when Jack was picked up by the taxi driver.
Yes, according to the clock in the drugstore window. Inspector, let's telephone the coroner and then...
Then what?
Go take a good look at that clock.
Oh, this is a waste of time, Mike. I checked that clock the day after the robbery.
So did we, Inspector, before the trial began.
It's an electric. It keeps perfect time. It couldn't be wrong.
Save your breath, pal. Mike's in another stubborn spell.
Oh, the drugstore's closed for the night.
Yeah, but there's the clock. You can read it 100 feet away. Neon hands, neon numerals.
It says 11:10. What time have you got, Faraday?
11:10. Now are you satisfied?
Jack came out of the jewelry place 2 doors north of the drugstore. The taxi picked him up. The driver saw the clock and the window. The window!
What are you staring at, Mike?
The grocery store over there. Inspector, call a cab and get the driver who picked up Jack Holmes.
In just a moment, we'll return to Mike and Phyllis. A few minutes ago, we mentioned some of the advantages of Union Oil's spark plug service. As a featured part of this service, the Minutemen also inspect your ignition cables. These cables are the small, fine wires which deliver electricity to the spark plugs. Normally, they give little trouble. But if anything happens to them, if they get broken or frayed, or if the insulation is damaged, even brand new spark plugs won't help your driving. In other words, a faulty ignition cable will leak electricity. And by the time the charge gets to the spark plug, there isn't enough juice left for the rich, full spark needed for complete combustion. So for a careful check and double check on your car's firepower, have a Union Oil Minuteman service your spark plugs and ignition cables. You'll get honest, accurate work, and you'll notice the increased power and snap from your engine as soon as you drive away. You'll find Union Oil Minuteman ready to serve you wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76. It's a few minutes past midnight. At a lonely street corner in the commercial district, Mike, Phyllis, and Inspector Faraday are talking to a scared little taxi driver.
Look, fellas, it's just like I said in court. I'm cruising along here and I see this guy.
The inspector and I know that, Smitty. Now, we just want you to show us. Now, do exactly as you did that night.
Yeah, cruise down the street and pretend you're picking up Jack Holmes.
And we'll get in the back seat and ride along.
Okay, okay, climb in.
Here, darling, come in.
Thank you.
I turns this corner here, see? Yeah. And I mosey in along when I spots him crossing the street. He waves at me, so I slows down. I stops right about here.
Jack was standing in the middle of the street. You opened the door. Which one?
The right one. He climbs in and gives me the address.
Well, go ahead. Open the door, Smitty.
See, ain't you got no imagination?
Now, Smitty, when did you see the clock?
Right now, when I leans over to close the door. Everybody's in the window, see? All lit up with neons.
Okay, look at it. What time does the clock say?
It's just like at night. 12:15.
Mike, you were right.
He made the same mistake all over again.
Look at it again, Smitty. Look hard. Now, come on, look hard.
What do you mean, look hard? The clock says, hey, there's something screwy. The numbers, they're backwards.
Right, Smitty, right. You're not looking at the clock. You're looking at the reflection in the grocery store window.
The real clock is across the street in the drugstore.
The drugstore clock reads a quarter to 12, but the reflection looks like a quarter after 12. 30 minutes difference, Smitty.
Gee, I got a sworn. Say, I did swear. You ain't gonna pinch me, are you?
No, Smitty. Now, are you willing to do something for us?
Me? Yeah, sure. Anything, fellas.
All right. We're gonna pick up three passengers, and one of them is the murderer.
Here's the office.
Right.
Mr. Shane, I doubt we'll find anything in here that the police haven't already gone over.
Well, they had the wrong slant, Mr. Phillips. You see, someone planned to steal those diamonds, but they needed a fall guy, Jack Holmes. So they faked the shortage in his account books. Then they called him that night, very indignant at discovering his dishonesty.
Just a minute. I was the one who found him out.
Shut up, Ann.
Jack said he wanted to check back through his records. He didn't leave till a quarter to 12. About midnight, the thief came here and stole the diamonds. The night watchman surprised the thief and was killed.
Then the cab driver blundered about the drugstore clock, and Jack was really on the spot. For the killer, it was a beautiful out.
Janet discovered the mistake this afternoon. She told it to Bauer. He checked her story. When he discovered Janet was dead, he tried to tell me what Janet told him. That's why he was killed.
Oh, that's rubbish. Bauer ran away from the inspector. Why? He must have had a reason.
He had. He wasn't ready to talk yet. You see, there's one detail we didn't tell you people. Bauer was a detective himself.
He was what?
Oh, yes, yes. Hired by the insurance company to find those diamonds.
You mean that he was... Do you think he found the diamonds?
I'm sure he didn't. If we can step inside the office, Mr. Phillips, I'll show you why. Now, Bauer had a suspect, but it was the wrong one. He did know, however, that Jack was innocent. And when he telephoned me, the same call you listened in on, Miss Russell, the killer knew he was trapped unless...
I don't believe it. I didn't hear anything on that phone.
Oh, yes, you did, Miss Russell. You ought to have recognized it. Now, perhaps you will now.
Mr. Shane, stop this cat-and-mouse business.
Shh, please, please. That clock on the bookcase there, in 5 seconds, it's going to strike the hour. Now, listen. 1, 2, 3...
This is fantastic.
4... Well, distinctive chimes, aren't they? This is the same clock I heard strike while I was talking to Bauer on the phone. He called from this very room. There was only one man who knew where I was who could tell Bauer where to phone me. Mr. Phillips.
Me? You're insane.
Am I? Bauer told you Jack was innocent, and you sat there in your chair and heard him say to meet me at the old Dutch windmill at 10:30. So you killed him.
He trusted the wrong person, just as Janet did. She came to you, told you about the drugstore clock. You had to stop her tongue. You poured her a drink from this water jug on your desk with poison in the glass.
You anything to say to that, Mr. Phillips?
No. No, nothing.
I thought not. All right, Inspector.
Oh, come on in the house, kids.
Huh?
Mrs. Faraday will be glad to fix us some eggs and coffee.
Oh, no, no, no. It's pretty late, Faraday. I think we all better get to bed. Look at Phil here. She's almost asleep.
I am not. I was just thinking. How did you know, Mike, that the clock you heard over the phone was in Philip's office?
Oh, I heard it the first time we went there, dear. It just took me a little while to get it placed in my memory.
Mm. Clocks ran all through this case, didn't they? The watchman's clock stopped at 12:10. The drugstore clock that convicted poor Jack. The office clock that caught the murderer.
Yeah, sometimes a clock can tell more than the time of day.
Oh, Mike, that's corny. But I knew you'd say it. I was just waiting for it.
Well, I guess Michael's entitled to a little corn off the cob tonight. That was neat thinking, my boy. A clock reflected in the window and the hands reversed by 30 minutes. Doubt if I'd have thought of it myself.
Oh, Faraday, please, Mike's ego.
Huh?
Besides, I think I know why he's so leery of clocks lately.
Oh, now listen here, honey, if you mean yes,
go on,
please.
Phil, let's have it.
Well,
no,
Mike
no.
had a date with me for 6 o'clock, and he was an hour late.
No, no, Angel, please,
and
no,
guess
no.
guess what his alibi was?
What?
He thought he saw a clock that said 5 p.m. It was a grocery scale with 5 pounds of potatoes in it.
This is Mike Shane again. On June 4th, we come on the air 1/2 hour earlier. Remember now, that's not next Monday night, but the Monday for following June 4th.
Tune in again next week at 8:30 for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Joe Forte as Inspector Faraday. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.